only way. Won't you?
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton, and you're listening to On the Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
It's Sunday, it's 8 p.m, and it's Phoenix 98 FM. It's On the Ropes, and it's live. Hope everyone is healthy and enjoying their weekend. Charlie, boxing galore over the last 24 hours, and lots to discuss this week.
Absolutely, absolutely. Looking forward to it. I hope all our listeners have had a fantastic weekend so far. It's been a little bit brass monkeys, hasn't it? And a bit windy out there. So hope you're settling down now for your Sunday night fix of boxing. You've got a nice cup of tea like we've just had and a couple of lovely Maryland cookies. Bosh, they were fantastic.
They were delicious, weren't they? News and views coming up, and we're joined by one of Matchroom's latest heavyweight signings and local lad, Johnny the Romford Bull Fisher. That's coming up later in part two. But firstly, seconds out, part one, Charlie.
I like what you've done there. I like what you've done there. The little bells, it goes down well, doesn't it?
That's a new little feature coming to you every week now, Sunday night. So part one, fights, and fights more to talk about, Charlie. We've got to discuss these from all over the globe. Firstly, from the UK, easy night for Josh Taylor last night as he wiped out his mandatory Ashwin Kongchong with a first-round body shot KO. I mean, Taylor remains the WBA and IBF super lightweight world champion. What's next? Now, Bob Arum has stated that Josh Taylor's next fight will be the unification with Jose Ramirez, possibly in January or February. Taylor is the WBA and IBF champ. Ramirez is the WBC and WBO champ. But he may have to vacate the WBO as Jack Catterall is due to be his mandatory. Big statement from Frampton, Charlie, last night. I'll get your thoughts on that. He reckons Catterall will defeat Ramirez and then goes on to a big UK showdown versus Taylor. Not so sure. But anyway, first and foremost, thoughts on Josh Taylor. And secondly, where does he go from here?
Initially, his thoughts, my thoughts on Taylor, he looked very good, Mark. He looked very good. It was hard to really judge him and judge, you know, what he's been learning under Ben Davison. Very difficult to see any of that, what he would have been learning in the gym. You know, it was a bit of a strange one. You know, it was I don't know, Mark. Was it that good of a body shot for the guy to go crippling down like the way he did? I'm not so sure. It didn't look like it. You know, it didn't look like he connected clean with him. It was a bit of rough and tumble and then under the elbow, you know, and it didn't look like a... it wasn't a clean punch. It was a clean punch, but, you know. But Josh Taylor himself said afterwards that he felt the punch go right through his arm. So he must have connected, or he felt he connected really well with him. But on the TV screen, it didn't look like it was a flash body shot. It didn't look that powerful. So I don't know if the jury's out there in terms of, you know, was the guy play acting or what? I don't know. He looked very strong, the kid, the Thai boxer. You know, I'm not going to lie. He looked, you know, he was very upright. He looked like he had power in those fists. But, you know, Josh didn't allow that. He smothered his work a lot of the time, hence why he got inside and got that body shot. So, impressed, yes. Would I have liked to see more? Of course. Because then you'd really, you know, get an understanding of how far he's come under Ben Davison, you know. And then what he moves on to next, it has to be Ramirez, right? That's the one he wants, a unification fight. Catterall's in the way, for sure. But I personally think Ramirez, you know, Ramirez-Taylor, Catterall's a good wingman to have on the side, but I'd certainly like to see Ramirez next for Taylor. But he did say afterwards he wants, you know, that bout is worthy of a crowd. So, you know, we're going to have to see how this COVID lockdown plays out, how long it's going to be around. You know, likely it's definitely going to be probably in the middle part of next year. So Taylor might have to take another fight first before he gets a shot at Ramirez.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Taylor, for me, we spoke about this in the past, and you know, we've had some listeners, you know, call in the past also, and claiming that Josh Taylor is pound for pound probably Britain's finest at the moment. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Josh Taylor. I think he is a real, you know, elite fighter. He's got real venom in him. You know, he comes across as a very nice guy, but I mean, he can bang. And he can certainly box.
Well, Mark, he's 16-0 now, isn't he? And he's ducked. No, you think he's only had 16 pro fights, right? And how many world-class fighters has he been in with? You know, pro grade. You know, you can reel him off who he's been in there with to, you know, at world title level. So he shies away from no one. You know, Victor Poskow as well, he was another one he was in with. You know, he doesn't shy away from anyone. So, and he'll fight anyone. He's game as they come. So, you know, and I think, under Ben Davison, like I said, I want to see more. I want to see what they've been working on. And I think it will do him, it will take him onto that next level, if there is a next level, because he's certainly at the top of his game. And on his way to being found pound for pound, he's certainly, maybe in Britain, maybe, but on the world stage, I'm not so sure. He's on the way.
There was another Charlie back in Edwards. Another Charlie back in action last night. It wasn't Charlie Foley, it was Charlie Edwards. Now, he returned after a year out of the ring with a dominant 99-91 points win over Carl Williams. I mean, the journey is now back on track for Charlie Edwards. His target is clearly to be a two-time world champion, and it began last night. Good to see him back, Charlie, at that. You know, he stepped up in weight to bantamweight. You know, he is a good fighter, don't get me wrong. I'm just pleased to have him back.
Yeah, Mark, he stepped up two weights for this bantamweight. He said afterwards himself, you know, he's super, really, naturally, he's super fly, Mark. And if I'm honest, I wasn't impressed. At bantamweight, I thought he'd be a lot stronger, you know, because he was struggling to make the weight, hence why he's gone up. And, you know, Kai Williams came to fight, Mark. He did not give him a minute's peace. He really didn't. And you can see that Edwards doesn't have that natural power. Maybe it's super fly, he may do, certainly not bantamweight, but he did say afterwards, you know, bantamweight's not his weight. He could really feel the strength for the other guy. And Williams, like I said, did not leave him alone throughout the fight. Awkward southpaw, strong southpaw. You know, you could see Edwards didn't quite have the power, but he did say it was a good run out. You know, he's been, the last 12 round he had was like a year and a half ago. So, you know, he'll learn a lot from that. But, you know, there's a long way to go for Charlie Edwards, certainly to grow into the weight. But, you know, he needs to work on his a bit on his punch power. You know, I know down at that weight, you don't really get too many strong ones. But certainly bantamweight, he did look a little bit out of his depth in terms of, you know, real power.
Now, power could be the question, as you've just touched on there, for Charlie Edwards. He didn't necessarily have it. And has he got it now at that in that division? For me, maybe not. You know, there could be 12-round fights potentially down the road for him. I'd love to see him go on and compete again at world level, but I think he will find it difficult at that weight.
Well, even Superfly might. If he hangs around Superfly bantamweight, you know, the likes of Inoue and people like that.
Yeah, just too much power for him. Carry too much power.
They'll be
him.
Too strong for him. They really will. And I do like his style. You know, technically, he looks good on the eye. But, you know, with no crowd last night, and you could hear, you know, a lot of noises coming, you know, I don't know, it was over-dramatised, you know, some when he was throwing a punch, it was like he was screaming. You know, we don't normally hear that, do we, when there's a crowd? So it was a little bit, you know, over the top.
Off-putting,
yeah. Yeah. And that was hiding the power, do you know what I mean? And I wasn't impressed. But like I said, he is a good boxer. And I think he'll do better at Superfly, but yeah, try and avoid bantamweight.
Off to Latvia now. Last night, a great contest, and really started off and kicked fireworks really into the evening. Big one punch KO for Filip Hrkovic against Alexandra Katsuya to get him back in action and move to 11-0 with 9 knockouts now in Latvia. Also in action, Jose Burton handed his second defeat by Ricards Boloknics, who reached the MTK Golden Contract Light Heavyweight Tournament final. Now, Burton was in trouble in the later rounds. I watched it, I mean, from probably round 7 onwards, and in round 9 especially, I mean, he had a standing count, and Boloknics just looked an absolute brute. I mean, how the hell, we touched on this in the car, Charlie, how the hell has Boloknics, A, he's a European champion, yes, B, has he not been spotted, and C, 5 defeats on his on his record. How the hell has he lost five defeats? Because for me, he completely bossed that fight last night. From, you know, early rounds, maybe not. He was sizing up Burton. But the minute he got inside, he showed his power. He looked the stronger man, the stronger fighter. Burton gave, you know, gave Bolotnik's, you know, that long jab, long reach. But Bolotnik's, for me, just, he had the power and he had the skill set.
He did, Mark, and he was brave. You know, he had the home crowd. There was a small crowd in there. Obviously, you know, Tyson Fury, Jose Burton's cousin, was there. You know, that didn't buy him any rounds, because, you know, it's quite a wide score that he won it by, didn't he, Bolotnik's? And he deserved it, Mark. Like you said, you know, Burton, you could have, and the empty, by the way, the commentator on IFL TV was so biased towards Burton. You know, he was saying, oh, he's boxing perfectly on the back foot. Oh, class uppercut, you know. Now and again, it was a flash uppercut or he'd miss. And Bolotnik's was all over him. He was all over him. From rounds three, he was literally, like, you know, just beating him around the ring. And in the later rounds, you know, he really bossed it. He really did. But you could tell, you know, Burton didn't. Again, we touched upon, you know, punch power earlier with Charlie Edwards. You can put Jose Burton in that bracket as well, Mark. Very, very good from range. Very technically, very good, very clever. You know, you could hear everything Joe Gallagher was shouting from the sides. Burton was responding. He was alert. But he just didn't have the punch power. And sometimes you need raw power to get you through. And that was that kind of fight last night with Burton. To get the guy off his chest, he had to try and, you know, contest his power. And he just couldn't. He just couldn't get the guy off his chest. And like I said, Tyson Fury was in the crowd. He couldn't buy his cousin the win. He couldn't buy him any rounds. And Bolotnik's fully deserved it.
Yeah, well, we were at the Golden Contract quarterfinal light heavyweight division right here in Brentwood at the Brentwood Leisure Centre. And that night, Bolotnik's cleaned out the quiet man, Stephen Ward, I mean, with a fantastic punch. But for me, Bolotnik's looked like, he looks like he's improving. Hosea Burton was one of the favourites to take to win the tournament. I do agree with what you said there, Charlie. A very upright stance from Burton. Very amateur style. Doesn't possess the power of that division. And Bolotnik's really is a danger man now. Obviously, on to Wednesday night, at your call, we've got the other semi-final with Liam Conroy and Serge Mikkel. Also, an electric bill that night, you know, which should be, let's not forget, you've got the likes of Ryan Walsh in there versus Jezza Dickens. That'll be a fantastic bout. And obviously, the headliner really is going to be Ahara Davis versus Tyrone McKenna. I mean, it's certainly grabbing the headlines. It's grabbing the attention of the public. I'm really looking forward to Wednesday night, your call.
Absolutely, Mark. Mikel's not going to be a pushover either, is he? You know, and I think it will be an all-European final. You know, he's German, isn't he? I think it's from Munich versus Bolotnik's the Latvian. You know, who would have predicted that at the beginning? You know, that these two guys would make the final. You know, they like you said, they certainly weren't the favourites. Burton was the favourite. You could have put Stephen Ward in there to make it through to the latter stages. You would not have predicted Bolotnik's and Mikel getting through. Now, Mikel's got Conroy. That's not going to be an easy match by any stretch of the imagination. You know, Mikel's got to come to the UK again. He did come into Brentwood. He boxed very well. But, you know, your call is a different animal. It's going to be an electric atmosphere. I know there's no crowds, but still, it's a red-hot, you know, competition. And there's some big fights Wednesday night. So, really looking forward to it. Like you said, Ahara Davis versus Tyrone McKenna. I mean, that's a mouth-watering fight, that one is. And like you said, Walsh versus Dickens. Dickens, again, the surprise package. He beat Lee Wood, didn't he?
Yeah, super featherweight. Yeah, really looking forward to it.
In the semi. So people might have put, you know, Dickens, like, they might have said, you know, he's beyond his best. But he's you know, he's surprised a lot of people in this. So Wednesday night, MTK, I think it's on IFL TV. I also think it's on Sky as well. It's on Sky, isn't it? Sky Sports, Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. Get it on your TV sets. Boxing is back.
Really looking forward to it. Also last night, brilliant display from Marius Bridis, outclassing Yuna Dorictos over 12 rounds. I mean, he was just too good for his opponent. Bridis now IBF World Champion, Ring Magazine Champion, and the World Boxing Super Series Cruiserweight Tournament Champion. What's next, Charlie, for the ageing Bridis? I'll tell you what's next for him. Lawrence Okolie, if he beats Glowacki. Great fight.
Boy, aren't you the predictor? It was a very good fight, Mark. I've thoroughly enjoyed that fight last night. For any of our listeners, it was on Sky. You might get it back on in a week. Chris Lloyd and Darren Barker were on commentary. They're a good pair, them two. I'll tell you what, they know their stuff. They really gel well, whereas a bit like me and you, right, over the mic. Absolute pros at their boxing, you know, at their boxing IQ. Fantastic, just like me. Not so sure about you, Mark, but certainly me. But no, really good fight. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Breedas, again, started very slow. Dorticos, he looked a beast, Mark. He looked a lot bigger than Breedas. But Breedas, again, in a craftsman, you know, craftsmanship skills around the ring, you know, an old pro. He started coming into the fight late on, controlled it from range, deserved the win. Some of the cards were a little bit wide for me. I thought it was a lot closer. But, you know, he's been around the block, hasn't he? He's been around the block. He vacated the WBA. He's now taking the IBF. He's been in there against Usyk. You know, Usyk won the tournament the year before. You know, he's been in there with some fantastic pros. But, yeah, where does he go now? He's 35. He's probably got one or two big money fights. So it has to be big tickets. And you're right, I think. But I think Glowacki and Okoli go in for an eliminator for the WBA. And then Breedas has his chance to claim it back, because he had to vacate, if you recall, because of the tournament, the World Boxing Series. He didn't want to leave that tournament because of that controversial decision with the elbow against Glowacki. He vacated that belt. So maybe he wants one last, you know, try at that belt. And then if he wins it, he retires with, you know, a handful of belts, a unified champion. And I think he's very close to that. Like I said, one or two more fights, he's done.
Another pair of twins in action last night, and they are talented just as we are. The Charlo twins were back in action. Emphatic triumph for Jermell Charlo as he knocked out Jession Rosario to unify the WBA, WBC and IBF super welterweight world titles. Also a really good fight was his twin brother, Jermell Charlo. He overcame Sergey Devchenko by unanimous decision. Solid test with some real tricky moments against the true warrior, but Charlo passed it and retained his WBC title. Charlie, both twins back in action. I don't think their pay-per-view numbers would have been great. We touched on this. $75 pay-per-view in the US. I mean, I don't think those numbers would be great, but nevertheless, both got wins.
Absolutely, Mark. To be fair, I watched it back earlier. I got on YouTube, and I was, you know, I've been very critical of these two guys, saying, you know, they're not the real deal, you know what I mean? But last night they had stern tests. You know, Rosario, he's a two-time world champion. He beat Julian Williams. You know, that was a unification fight last night for the IBF, WBA and WBC titles. You know, and Charlo had him down three times, Mark. The body shot, again, we're talking about body shots, Josh Taylor earlier. It was like a flash jab. It was like a powerful jab. And Rosario went down and he could not get his breath. He couldn't catch his breath. It was unbelievable. For anyone who's listening that hasn't seen it, YouTube it, Google it now. You'll see the flash punch. It was in round eight. And I thought, that can't be right. But when you see it on the replay, Mark, he's caught him just under the elbow, right in the solar plex. Honestly, and he looked like he was just so out of breath. He was like crawling around crying like a baby. He could not get up for love nor money. It was a great punch, and that just shows you the caliber of the, you know, the I keep getting mixed up. It's Jermell, isn't it? Jermell and Jermell. Jermell versus Derevchenko. Derevchenko, tough cookie. He's been in with Canelo. He's been in with Golovkin. Tough. You know, Ukrainian, tough customer, tough as they come. Stern test again. He won it on points. And if you saw Derevchenko's face at the end, you could tell that, you know, Charlo bossed it. He had, you know, his eye was shot to pieces. He had, you know, blood everywhere. It thoroughly, thoroughly deserved the unanimous win.
I think Chris Eubank he's his mandatory now, isn't he?
Well, they did say
he's
afterwards.
Been calling him out.
Yeah, they said Chris Eubank and Andrade as well, you know, the middleweight champion, right? So there's a few different ways he can go here. But, you know, these two guys are in it now for the long haul. There are still only 30, the pair of them, obviously the twins. And, you know, I've been very critical, like I said, but I was pleasantly surprised last night. So, yeah, you know, super. One's middleweight and one's super welterweight, aren't they? So, you know, watch this space with these two guys. But, you know, it certainly weren't worth $75, that's for sure. But it was definitely worth, you know, having a look on a stream.
Another result to mention, and really was a demolition job from Jean-Rael Casimiro as he defended his WBO bantamweight title with a third round stoppage of Duke Mika last night. Now, Inoue and Casemiro. I mean, if that fight could be resurrected, Charlie, I mean, that would be some fight. If you saw the post-match interview from Casemiro, I mean, I don't want to swear on live radio, but there was no pleasantries in there. And these two boys can absolutely bang. And that would be a fantastic bantamweight world title fight. Really would be.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the little guys, when you see the little guys with you know, natural power, it's lovely to see, isn't it? Because you get everything. You get technique, you get speed, and you get, you know, the power as well. It's fantastic to see down at that weight, but it is a rarity. So, yeah, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'd be a great fight if it did happen. Just a couple of more results to mention before we start swiftly moving into part two. A statement made, really, from Tony Yoka this weekend as he blasted out Dufusis in one round. Johan Dufusis was 39, but only previously stopped by Deontay Wilder in 11 and Alexander Povotkin in 6 rounds. 2016 Olympic gold medalist Yoka, now 8-0, and he's ready for his US debut with Top Rank. So keep an eye out on this guy. He's very, very talented. Another result to mention just very, very quickly. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. lost to Mario Cazares last night by a technical decision. The fight was stopped in the 6th round due to a cut above Chavez's eye. And his father, Charlie, Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., won his bout on the same bill at age 58 on an exhibition card. I mean, exhibition fight. 58.
You what?
Chavez Sr. back in action.
How embarrassing is that? Your dad comes out of retirement at 58. He wins his fight and you lose. I mean, do me a favour. That Chavez Jr. might total waste.
What's even more embarrassing is Jr. likes to wear women's clothing.
Yeah, I've seen that on YouTube and all that. Have you seen that before? He's been runs around in high heels and everything and he's got like bleached blonde hair. I hope he still hasn't got that stupid bleached blonde hair.
I think he has. But yeah, he lost surprisingly last night. But also, just to mention, Terence Crawford versus Kell Brook on November 14 is reportedly not going to be shown on Sky pay-per-view in the UK, as they've already got Povetkin versus White a week later. Charlie, just before we move into part two, I want to pick your brains on this because Bob Arum made a point this week at a bit of a rant at the UK promoters and the UK network saying, you know, economies are in a mess. Why do we continually charge for Mickey Mouse fights that are wrong? And examples, give you an example, right? That Chisora Usyk fight's coming up. That's pay-per-view on Sky. So I think Bob Arum's got a point here, especially during the pandemic. Why are we continually being asked to put hands in our pockets for poor fights?
Yeah, well, I think it's a double-edged sword, Mark, isn't it? I think if you look at, you know, throughout the summer, you know, people like Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren as well, they're putting on, you know, behind closed door bouts. Boxers have got to get paid. You know, the production team's got to get paid. The lighting team, the media team, all this goes into it. Normally, your ticket sales would try and compensate that and break even. And then, you know, your TV money, your endorsements would make up the money. At the moment, no one's getting anything. You know, boxing promoters are putting on these shows. They're hiring out the venues. The boxers have got to stay somewhere, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone's got to be paid. So they're just trying to claw back a little bit of money. So, you know, I get Bob Arum's point. But on the other side, I get the promoter's mindset as well. You know, they have to try and earn money and try and break even. If not break even, make a little bit of profit. So it's a double-edged sword. I'm just glad boxing's back. I wouldn't have paid $75 for the Charlo bout, but someone like, you know, Chisora and Usyk, you're going to get a bit of value for money, aren't you? So you're not going to worry too much about laying out a score or something like that. Anything more than that, I think it's got a point. But for now, you know, Bob, worry about your own stable, you know what I mean? Just don't worry about what's going on over here.
Because on the flip side of that, I've read that a statement made from Manny Pacquiao this weekend, and he's looking, for the sake of all the Filipino community and COVID-19, he's looking to fight UFC superstar Conor McGregor next year. So that potentially could be announced, a date for early next year for COVID-19. So you've got, you know,
yeah,
the flip side of that is that will probably be pay-per-view for a very, very good cause. But some of these fights, they have to warrant and merit, you know, the consumer's financial situation at the moment.
Yeah,
they
absolutely
have to, because of the situation that a lot of people are in. You know, they're struggling to pay their Sky and BT bills, and you can't ask them to pay another £20 on a meaningless fight.
I get that, but you could say, Mark, but you could say Pacquiao McGregor's a meaningless. If you, for the, you know, for the casual fans, that's a great fight, right? But for the diehard boxing fans, that's not even a contest. That ain't even a contest. So you know what I mean? There's always two sides to every story. There's two sides to a coin. Do you know what I mean? It's how you perceive it. And if you want to pay out for it, you'll pay out for it. There'll be people out there that will buy into that, you know, because of Pacquiao, because of what he does for his people. They'll happily pay over $20 or $30, whatever. But then you'll have someone like the Chisora. They don't particularly like him, or they don't rate Usyk. They don't want to pay up. It's the viewer's right, or it's the viewer's choice. If you've got a score, you're not going out. You can't go out because the pub's shut at 10 o'clock at night. Well, what a great night in for £20. Do you know what I mean? It's a no-brainer.
Right, guys, we're going to leave you with some music. This is Charlie's choice this week. A bit of Justin Bieber coming on now for you. It's Holy featuring Chance the Rapper. We'll catch you very soon.
I hear a lot about sinners. Don't think that I'll be a saint, but I might go down to the river. 'Cause the way that the sky opens up when we touch it, it's making me say that the way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, feel so holy, 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 holy. Oh God, running to the altar like a track star, can't wait another second. 'Cause the way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, feel so holy. Don't do well with the drama, and no, I can't stand it being fake. No, 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 no. I don't believe in nirvana, but the way that we love in the night gave me life, baby. I can't explain it. The way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, feel so holy, 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 holy. A track star, can't wait another second. 'Cause the way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, feel so holy. They say we're too young, and the pimps and the players say don't go crushing. Wise men say fools rushing, but I don't know. They say we're too young, and the pimps and the players say don't go crushing. Wise men say fools are rushing, but I don't.
Chance, the rapper.
The first step pleases the father. Might be the hardest to take. When you come out of the water,
I'm a believer, my heart is fleshy. Life is short with a temper, like Joe Pesci. They always come and sing your praises, your name is catchy. But they don't see you how I see you, Parlay and Desi. Cross tween, tween, Hesse, hit the jet ski. When they get messy, go lefty, like Lionel Messi. Let's take a trip and get the Vespas, or rent a jet ski. I know the spots that got the best, we going next week.
I wanna honor you.
Rise groom, I'm my father's child. I know when the son takes the first step, the father's proud. If you make it to the water, he'll part the clouds. I know he made you a snack like Oscar Proud. Suffer it to be so now, gotta clean it up. Formalize the union and communion he could trust. I know I ain't leaving you like I know he ain't leaving us. I know we believe in God and I know God believes in us.
The way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. Feel so holy, 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 holy.
Seconds out, part two. Welcome back to the second half of the show, guys. As we said earlier in the show, we are joined live tonight by a very special guest, Johnny the Romford Bullfisher. Now, Johnny, welcome to On the Ropes live on Phoenix 98 FM. And how the devil are you?
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm not bad at all. Just had a nice couple of days relaxing. Saturday and Sunday off, and ready for some sparring next week. So, all good. Thank you.
Top man, Johnny. It's Charlie here, mate. Thank you again for joining us.
Alright.
No problem at all. Now, what a whirlwind few months it's been for you. You know, completing a 2-1 history degree at Exeter University, and then you decide to pursue a career in the big bad world of professional boxing. You know, signing was Sam Jones' management, Mark Tibbs, you know, world-renowned trainer, and then Eddie Hearn and Matchroom. I mean, you must be absolutely buzzing.
I'm still picturing myself a little bit, Will, because, as you said a few months ago, I'd be in the library studying for my history exams and things like that, and helping my dad with his work. So for me to now be sitting here as a natural boxer, I'm with SGM Boxing, Mark Tibbs is my trainer, as you say. I'm pinching myself, but I know I've got a lot of hard work ahead, and I've got a good platform now to see how far I can get in the boxing world.
And Johnny, I just wanted to ask, I mean, was boxing always the dream for you? We believe you fought as a schoolboy and a junior ABA levels, but then took a break from the game. Was it always something that you wanted to pursue?
Oh, always. Boxing's been my number one sport since I first put on a pair of gloves when I was about 4 or 5. It was the first time I started going to the boxing gym. So it's always been something I've wanted to pursue. I've done a lot of different sports. I was a good footballer, I played rugby, but boxing has been my
day
one sport, and it always will be my number one.
I mean, you picked back up the sport only, you know, a matter of a couple of years ago. I mean, you're learning on a job, so to speak. You know, gaining valuable experience. I understand you were sparring with Joe Joyce.
Yep.
I mean, during those moments, was it then that you realised, you know what, I think I could have a go at a pro career?
Yes, because as you said, it's only been like the last 2 years I've been boxing properly again. I got back into it the second year of university. I met a good friend down there called Zane, and he helped me training. We're doing it more for the enjoyment of it, but training hard, obviously. And then I've got done some sparring with Joe, and I thought, yeah, I can handle myself and giving him some good rounds. And we progressed well, and Joe really helped me develop as a boxer. I sparred Dave Allen as well. So I've been mixing with some good professionals, and people taking note and thinking, I can give this a good go myself.
And Johnny, I mean, you hooked up, as Charlie touched on there with the intro, you hooked up with a highly respected trainer, Mark Tibbs, who was obviously instrumental in the rise of Dillian White's career. I mean, this must be reassuring that you've got such an experienced coach, you know, in your corner.
Oh, it's brilliant, especially at this early stage of our career, because someone like Mark is someone that's with world-level fighters, and I've got a long way to go to get to that. But to me, to have that support at this early stage and to see what he's done with Dillian and how he's developed Dillian, it's a really good marker for me to think if I can have half of that improvement that Dillian White had, then it'd be brilliant for me in these early stages of my career.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Johnny. You know, when you think about Dillian White, you know, he had no amateur experience in boxing, yeah, although he was a kickboxer. I mean, that must, you know, give you confidence, you know, hooking up with Mark, that, you know, what he'd done with Dillian, you know, he can take you under his wing. And then obviously, you know, you've got to, you know, repay that as well. And he's got, you know what I mean, that must be fantastic. You're building that trust.
Massively building a good relationship already. We're into our fifth week, just the end of our fifth week now. I'm counting all the weeks we've been together. But he's a good man, Mark, and I trust everything he says. He's a very good, calming influence on all these boxers that he trains. And I'll put my faith in him completely, because I know he's a world-renowned trainer. He's got all the experience he gets from his dad as well. So I'm in great hands, and I trust his every word.
And firstly, any news on Fight Night, firstly? And secondly, Johnny, where did the nickname come from?
Yeah, firstly, on Fight News, I saw Eddie on Thursday or Friday, and we're looking definitely November, December time. End of the year, got to get one fight in before the year's out, so that'll be good for me to sort of announce myself onto the boxing stage. And one football, my dad actually came up with it. He likes to put on a lot of Twitter polls and things like that, and he gave an off different nicknames going forward, and the one football is one of the most popular ones, and it's got a good ring to it, and people seem to like it, and it sort of represents how I come forward on a fight. And it's not, I'm not just a come forward fighter, but that's who I am on the aggressive boxer, so the nickname fits.
I mean, you know, the nickname does certainly fit, and even when you hear it, you know, when it rolls off the tongue, you're like, I want to be there, I want to see this guy fight, because he just sounds like a real brute, you know. And obviously, you're a local lad, you know, you've got, you know, I'd imagine not only Romford, but, you know, it's about getting your name out there and getting Essex behind you.
Definitely, yeah, I've got a good support network around me. I've got a really good group of friends, good family, and they all support me. Well, I went down to Exeter. I took about 150 of my fans to Exeter to watch one of my amateur boxing matches. So it's brilliant. I've got a good support network, not only in Essex and Romford, but my university friends as well. So I've got people backing me and people believe in me. So that's always a good plus point moving forward.
We touched on Joe Joyce earlier, Johnny, and you've been in there with him, and he gets a lot of criticism that he's way too slow. He hasn't got the technique to mix it with the best of the division. We've always liked Joe Joyce, you know, here at On the Ropes, and obviously from seeing him in the amateurs, do you believe that he's got what it takes and the attributes to beat Daniel Dubois and to move forward to the world levels?
Listen, you don't become the most one of the most decorated GB amateur boxers without being any good at boxing. He won more medals than any other amateur boxer in the history of Team GB. And I've seen it firsthand in sparring and watching his fights when he fought Bryant James as well. He proves that he can take it the distance, and he's got power in the late rounds. And he's as fit as a fiddle. He's strong. He's mentally strong. And I think he's one of the most underrated heavyweight boxers out there at the minute. And I think he's going to cause a big upset in the Dubois fight.
And is it right that, you know, how did the sparring come about? Because obviously we touched upon it earlier where you were having a bit of a break, you know what I mean? You were concentrating on your studies, and then all of a sudden you're on your way out to Vegas to spar with Joe Joyce. I mean, how did that come about?
It came about, it was first started, I was at university at the time in the library, and I saw on Sam Jones's Instagram he was looking for sparring with Joe Joyce, and I just put my hand up to Sam and messaged him and said, look, if you want some rounds, I'm not the most experienced, but I'll give him some good rounds. And he invited me down, and I've done well then, and then I sparred Joe 3-4 more times, and then the call came to me to go to Las Vegas, and I couldn't believe it. I was at university at the time then, and it was unbelievable for me to have the opportunity to go to Las Vegas and be part of a professional heavyweight boxing camp, one of the biggest fights that's going to be on in British history. So it's brilliant. It's a brilliant story.
And I mean, when you're close up with someone like Joyce, because like we touched upon earlier, you know, on the television, some people say he looks very lethargic, very slow. I mean, surely that can't be the case inside that ring when you're one-on-one.
It's not slow. It's just when you stand next to Joe, because I'm quite a big man, but Joe is abnormally, he's massive. He's a massive unit. So it might look slow to people on the telly, but he picks his shots really well. And he's faster than you think, and you've got to give him good credit. He's got a lovely jab, and he's reading the opponent all the time. So he's not as slow as people like to think, and he's massive. He's huge. So that's one of his attributes: is he's big, he's strong, and he reads the boxing match really well.
And I must ask you this, Johnny. I mean, there seems to be a new wave of young and hungry British heavyweights coming through, the likes of yourself. You know, you throw Fabio Woodley into that mix, David Adelaide. I mean, how long do we wait before we can see you and these guys really challenging and knocking down the door for the big names of the division?
I've spoke to Mark, I've spoke to Sam, my manager as well, and we know that we've got a building process ahead of us, like all the other young prospects coming up. And me, probably especially, because I've got to get that little bit more experience than everyone else. But when the time's right, we move every fight one fight at a time, and when the time's right to step up, it will be the right time. It might be a year, it might be 2 years, it might be less than that. We don't know. But whenever it's time, Mark and Sam know, and I'll listen to them, and I'll go into battle. I've got no problem with that.
And I mean, just on a note there with Mark, and Mark says, I mean, what's it like working with someone like him on a daily basis?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's, as I said, he's got such a calming influence, and he trusts every word he says. And I'm picking up every time I train with him. This is what he said. He loves my jab. He loves my aggression. But every time we train, he says, "You're improving a little bit, or you're picking something else up that I'm trying to teach you." And I'm really gelling into his style really well now. And it's just turning in the little points that he gives me, turning into habits, and that's happening slowly now. And it's just a matter of time until I become a good accomplished fighter. With more experience I get, with more rounds, more sparring, it's all going to fall into place.
Awesome. Well, Johnny, listen, we can't wait to see you in action. We really do appreciate your time here at Phoenix 98 FM on the Ropes. It certainly sounds exciting for you. We wish you all the best in your future endeavours. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight on Phoenix 98 FM.
Thank you very much for having me on. Have a good evening.
Cheers, Johnny. And if anyone in Essex or listening into the across the Brentwood, Romford area, East London area, if they want to, you know, light you up and follow you, how do they do that?
Yeah, I'll just give them my Instagram details. On Instagram, my name's Johnny Fisher 1, and on Twitter it's Johnny Fisher Box. And I just want to give a shout out to a couple of sponsors, if that's okay. I've got MKA Recruit, my day one sponsors. I've got the Steel Team who are supporting me. I've got Osteria, Duamici, or Du Fratelli in Upminster, Oda, Essex, and Gimme Golf. They're all sponsoring me, and if anybody wants to join and get part of the team, it'd be brilliant to have you on. So thank you, everyone, and thank you for having me on, Mark and Charlie.
No worries. Thank you very much, Johnny. Go and enjoy the rest of your evening. Take care, mate, and best of luck.
Bye.
Cheers, mate. Charlie, lovely fella. Johnny the Bull Fisher. Cannot wait. The Romford Bull Fisher. Cannot wait to see this kid in action.
Yeah, he's very articulate as well. You know, he's got a 2-1 at Exeter University. So not only is he brainy, but he can fight as well. So really looking forward to see this kid in action. You know, he's 21 years of age. He obviously impressed, you know, going out to Vegas to spar with Joe Joyce. He's from a boxing family. You know, I can't wait to see him, you know, unleashed on the pro scene. I really can't wait.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Right, guys, I think it's time for another little bit of music now. Last night we had Josh Taylor back in action, you know, in the Tartan Army. You know, wonderful fighter, probably Britain's pound-for-pound elite fighter at the moment. So we're going to play this one for Josh. It's by The Proclaimers, I'm Gonna Be. Enjoy this one. Catch you very soon.
Wake up, well I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I heaver, yeah I know I'm gonna be the man who's heavering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. And I'm working, yes I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. And when the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home,
when I come home,
oh, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you. And if I broke, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's growing older than you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more to be a man who walks 1,000 miles to be the man who's lonely without you. And when I'm dreaming, well I know I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go out,
when I go out,
well I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And when I come home,
when I come home,
yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
It's quote of the week. In case no one told you today, you are needed. You are stronger than you think. You are doing great. You deserve the best. You are here for a reason. Do not give up.
Oh, beautiful stuff, Charlie. And we can all relate to that, given what's going on in the current pandemic that we're all facing.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. There's tough times. We've been in it since March, haven't we? We can't seem to get out of it. So we just got to keep our heads up and keep cracking on. And everyone's doing a fantastic job, you know, and that's all you can do, right? It's tough for everyone. You know, people have lost loved ones. People are going through it now. You know, we've just got to stay safe, you know, and look after our loved ones, right? And be sensible as well. I mean, I was out shopping earlier, Mark, and there's still people out there just walking about with no regards. You know, I know people are asthmatic and stuff like that. They can't wear masks, but, you know, there's some youngsters out there that are just oblivious to what's going on, and they really do need to look themselves in the mirror, and, you know what I mean, just keep themselves safe, not just for their own well-being, but for the well-being of others. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. And just looking at the West Ham result, Charlie, you seen that coming in? It's coming. We've got Sky Sports on in here in the studio. 3-0 to the Hammers.
Oh my God, we're winning.
We're actually winning a game.
I thought you were going to just literally like put more misery on me and tell me.
It's like Bowen's got two and Souček's got one.
Who, Bowen? Is he still about?
Jim Bowen.
Bullseye. Bowen's got two.
Souček's got the other. 3-0 to the Hammers.
Get in there, my son.
Relegation. We might not be going down this season.
It's only one win. Well, we haven't. The game's not over yet. Look at Chelsea. They were 3-0 down, weren't they?
It looks like Wolves in a right pickle. It looks like Jimenez has seen a red card as well. So it's nearly over, and the Hammers are finally winning the game. Moving back to boxing now. Just touching on footy there quite briefly. Charlie, this week, big schedule of boxing again. We've got Wednesday night, Golden Contracts at Your Call. That'll be live on Sky Sports. We touched on that earlier. You know, Horace Davis versus McKenna. We've got Walsh versus Dickens. We've got Mikel versus Conroy.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, unbelievable boxing this week. And it starts on Wednesday night. And then next Saturday, we've got another mouthwatering show with our previous guest of last week, Chantel Cameron.
Sunday the 4th.
Of the 4th. We've got Josh Buatsi back in action.
Absolutely, Mark. And you've got Babich as well. We were talking to Johnny there earlier, the heavyweight. You know, Babich, he's under Matchroom as well. You know, he's only had like four pro fights or three pro fights. Been calling out his countryman Herkovic already, you know, Croatian. You know, so the heavyweight division under Matchroom, I mean, it's going to be unbelievable over the next few years. You know, and yeah, some great shows to look forward to, Mark. Really, really looking forward to it. And I can't wait personally for Wednesday night. I really can't because, you know, love him or loathe him, O'Hara Davis. You know, he is on his day. He's a good boxer. There's no two ways about it. He's just been, you know, rubbed up the wrong way in terms of social media and stuff like that. And, you know, everyone makes mistakes in life, but he seems to have got his head in a good place. He's got, you know, a good team around him with Kevin Mitchell and Will Jones down at the Edge Gym in Romford. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how he fares. And McKenna will be, a stern test. He's taller. He's, you know, awkward. He's a southpaw. But I think O'Hara Davis, Mark, will be too strong for him. Ryan Walsh, really looking forward to that. Again, an underrated boxer. You know, he's held that British title for so long. He's retained it for so long. He deserves real credit for that. And, you know, hopefully he can get past Dickens. And, you know, he deserves to move on and earn some decent money out of the game because, you know, what's on stake here is a contract with Top Rank, isn't it? And hopefully elevates to the world level. You know, and these boxers have dedicated their life, you know, the last year really to this Golden Contract competition. So, you know, the winner, whoever that may be, deserves a chance to move their career forward.
That's right. They do win a 5-fight deal with Top Rank. Now, looking at Ryan Walsh and Jazza Dickens, they're very, very, their records are very similar. So we look at Walsh now, 26-2-2. Dickens, 29-3-0. So they're both at similar stages of their careers as well, similar ages. They're both two very, very good domestic fighters. Now, Walsh holds the British title for the longest of any fighter currently within the professional ranks in Britain. So he's been Britain's longest champion. So that in itself, on paper, will be a very, very close fight. I'm sure both these guys know each other very, very, very well. I'm sure they've sparred each other in the past. Now, when we look at O'Hara Davis versus Tyrone McKenna, again, similar records. Davis, 21 with two defeats. McKenna, 21 with one defeat and one draw. I mean, you know, it's all on the line here for these boys. you know, can't wait. And then you've got the semi-finals, light heavyweight division as well, with Serge Mikkel and Liam Conroy. Last chance saloon for Conroy as well. And don't write him off.
Absolutely, Mike. That's what I mean. This competition has been so intriguing to watch and fascinating because it's wide open. And even, to be fair, the whole of the lockdown period, some of these fights, they've literally been 50-50s, Mark, because the boxers need to earn money and their careers are going nowhere in lockdown and they're prepared to step up and take those 50-50 fights. It's been fantastic. And the golden contract, you can't hide from that fact that, you know, you are going to have to literally turn up and you're going to have to be the best version of you because it's 50-50. The other guy wants it as bad as you and there's a lot at stake. So it's been a fantastic competition. Really looking forward to it. You know, I think Mikkel personally will be too strong for Conroy. Conroy's had a couple of heavy defeats recently, and not recently, but outside of the competition. So I think Mikkel will be too strong for him. Out of interest, who would you go with, Mark? O'Hara, Davis or McKenna? Who are you edging towards?
I'm edging towards O'Hara Davis, and I tell you why. I think he's obviously got a new trainer, and we spoke to Will Jones recently. Kevin Mitchell's part of the team as well. He's freshened things up a bit. He seems to be in a very strong mindset. He's not playing games, you know, like he has done in the past on social media and stuff like that. You know, he's kept it very, very quiet and he's just concentrating on his boxing. McKenna's doing his social media pranks and stuff like that to build the hype in the fight. Now, O'Hara Davis, really, for him to catapult back onto the world stage, let's not forget he's been in with Josh Taylor, he's lost to him. He's been in with Jack Catchell, lost to him. His only two defeats in his career. So he's there or thereabouts, and this is the one opportunity that he can get to really jump back to the next level, and that level being world level.
I'm just going to take you back to about this point about a year ago when the tournament began and we took predictions. So you've just contradicted yourself there.
Who did I say? McKenna?
You said McKenna.
All right, okay.
You just said, so literally, and I said O'Hara Davis, you have just literally contradicted yourself.
I'm going to have to stop you there, Charlie. West Ham has scored again. 4-0 to the Hammers.
Oh my God.
Right, back to boxing, go on.
Get in there. Yeah. So there you go. So I said O'Hara Davis right back at the beginning, before this competition even begun. You said McKenna, and now you've changed your tune.
I apologise for that. You threw me there. I didn't even. I don't even remember having that conversation.
Well, I do.
And you went OD, did you?
I went OD. Of course I did. I went for the local guy. You were, to be fair, we're from, you know, our family's Irish, so you went with the McKenna because he's the Irish connection, and I went with a local connection.
Okay,
the Hackney boy. We're Hackney boys. That's how it rolls. I stick with my own. I stick with the Hackney boys. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God. All right. Okay. Well, I chose McKenna, but I think that, you know, over the last few months with the changes that Davis has made, I make him a slight favourite. I do. But McKenna, you know, he's an awkward customer, you know, long reach, you know, can move, can box. If he gets behind that jab, O'Hara Davis is certainly going to have to be on top of his game.
And then obviously moving on to Sunday, Chantel Cameron, last week's guest, she has a fantastic opportunity to become a world champion. You've got Joshua Boazzi, Mark. Former guest of the show as well. We've had everyone on this show, haven't we? You know, it's just, I'm glad to see Boazzi back, Mark. It's about time he got busy. It really is.
Absolutely. And, you know, if he wants to be there or thereabouts and knocking the door down for a world title shot, he's got to be active. I think his record stands at 12-0, Charlie. I mean, for one of GB's best amateurs, he needs to be active. And he needs a test, let's face it. I mean, Anthony Yard's been in there with Kovalev. You know, even Bolotnik's at light heavy. Why not get in there with him if he wins the... Whoever wins that golden contract, Joshua Boazzi should be saying, I'll fight him.
That's a good shout.
I'll fight him.
Yeah.
He should be. He's at that level. You know, he's at that level now. He should be. These fights should be made for Joshua Boazzi. I don't know why they're holding him back. I really don't. Maybe they want him to take over from Anthony Joshua as the matchroom... The face of Matchroom. Push the lad on. He's being held back.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because that division is red hot as well, you know, and there's so many opportunity there to go in and claim a belt. So you're probably right. It is time for him to push on. It really is. And, you know, I don't know. Was he WBA interim continental champion or something like that? So it is about time he pushed on a bit.
Absolutely. Right, we've got all that to look forward to. Obviously, Wednesday night and next Sunday, boxing will be here on our screens on Sky Sports. Really looking forward to it. So, Charlie, all the social media, you can find us at?
on Twitter, On The Ropes FM1. On Insta, you can follow On The Ropes FM. We're on Facebook, On The Ropes. And if you know, if you haven't listened in live tonight, you can also go on the website. You know, we upload the pod edition, will be up there from tomorrow, www.phoenixfm.com. Just go to On The Ropes tab and you'll see, you know, not only this evening show, but all our recent shows as well. So you can go, click on it, download it. There's a yellow button there. It says download. You won't miss it. And away you go. You know, you've got hours of listening to all your boxing.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Guys, join us next Sunday, 8 p.m, Phoenix 98 FM. We're going to leave you with one of my favourite all-time songs by Tracy Chapman, Fast Car. Enjoy this one. We'll catch you next week.
And remember, you're always in with a puncher's chance. Have a good evening, guys. Have a fantastic week. In fact, have a knockout week. Love you long time.
Get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You get a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, with the bottle, that's the way it is. He says his body's too old for working. His body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said, somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights stay out before us. And your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. Had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter. Buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us. Your arm felt nice, wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone. Be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. You sell drinking late at the bar. See more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better. Thought maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving. I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us. And your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I.
someone, be someone. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so you can fly away? You gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.